This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
Janet Yellen shifts gears, moving focus from crisis management to steady growth gains.
Whole Foods stock surges after an activist investor pushes for a sale of the company.
Shares of LVMH rise to a record after reporting quarterly sales pointing to a possible rebound in luxury goods.
Secretary of State Tillerson and foreign diplomats meet on Syria and another deadly school shooting. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A near-perfect home opener for the Yankees. They beat Tampa Bay. The Mets won in Philadelphia. The Nets lost to the Celtics.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Michael Barr. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker, dealer, RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
And it is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. Right now, S&P futures are down 2 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures lower by 20 points. NASDAQ futures down by 5 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is up a third of a percent. The CAC in Paris is down almost a tenth of 1%, as is the DAX in Frankfurt. Tokyo's Nikkei closed lower by a quarter percent. 10-year Treasury prices up 6/32. The yield at 2.3445%, the 2-year yield at 1.2540. West Texas Intermediate crude is down a third of a percent at $52.91 a barrel. Brent crude lower by a quarter percent to $55.83. COMEX gold prices up a third of a percent or $4.40 an ounce to $12.5830. The pound is trading at $1.2421, the euro at $1.0602, and the yen at $110.69.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen says the U.S. economy is growing at a moderate pace and that policymakers close to reaching their full employment and 2% inflation objectives. Speaking at the University of Michigan yesterday, Yellen said that the Fed will continue to give the economy some gas, but not too much.
We think it's appropriate to gradually raise the federal funds rate toward a more neutral stance if the economy continues to perform in line with our expectations.
Yellen also stressed the importance of raising rates at the appropriate speed.
If the economy ends up overheating and inflation threatens to rise well above our target, we don't want to be in a position where we have to raise rates rapidly, which could conceivably cause another recession. So we want to be ahead of the curve and not behind it.
The Fed has penciled in 2 additional rate hikes this year on top of 1 executed in March.
We're getting some economic data out of Europe this morning. Industrial output in the euro area fell 3/10 of a percent in February. Estimates had called for an increase of 1/10 of a percent. Meantime, in the UK, inflation for March stayed flat at 2.3% as a drop in airfares helped offset increased food and clothing prices.
We're also watching some corporate stories out of the region this morning. For more on that, we bring in Bloomberg's Mark Barton live from our London Bureau. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Bob and Michael. The world's biggest mining company, BHP Billiton, is working with Goldman Sachs on its response to activist investor Elliott Management, according to people with knowledge of the matter. Yesterday, hedge fund billionaire Paul Singers Elliott issued a letter to BHP seeking a spin-off of the miner's estimated $22 billion of U.S. oil assets, higher returns for investors, and changes to its stock exchange listings. BHP said it's been in talks with the hedge fund for many months, and the costs and risks associated with the proposals outweigh the benefits. LVMH shares rising to a record after reporting first quarter sales that far exceeded estimates, jumping 15% as both the fashion and drinks units benefited from a rebound in demand across the industry. LVMH joins luxury goods providers such as Hermes and Gucci owner Kering in reporting a turnaround after several years of ebbing demand in China and a slowdown in travel in Europe. And Dialog Semiconductor is the worst performer on the Stock 600, shares sinking as much as 36%. 10%, the most since 2000, after an analyst warned that Apple will probably cut back on the use of the company's power management chips. Apple dominates Dialog's supply chain. The UK-based chipmaker gets about 74% of its sales from Apple. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Mark, thank you. Let's head to Asia for a look at how equities fared in that region today. Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin now from our Hong Kong bureau.
Well, Michael and Bob, it was risk-off in Asia today with Haven assets bid up on mounting geopolitical concerns, gold holding gains, and the yen stronger for a second day. So Japanese shares snapping a two-day advance and the Hang Seng sliding for a fourth day. But stocks on the mainland staged a rebound to erase losses, but the KOSPI getting hammered, falling for a sixth straight session, along with the Korean won, which led Asian forex lower. Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Sophie, thank you. Meanwhile, in Japan, Toshiba reported earnings after failing to do so twice before. Still, the results have not been approved by its auditor. The company reported an operating loss of $5.2 billion for the last 9 months of last year and issued a warning about its ability to continue. Toshiba has been at odds with auditors over internal controls at its Westinghouse nuclear unit.
Here in the U.S., shares of Whole Foods gained 10% yesterday after activist investor Jhana Partners said it acquired a stake in the company. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellitz with that story.
Jhana is suggesting that the organic food grocer consider putting itself up for sale. The investment firm announced an 8.3% stake in a filing, saying it will seek talks with management and push for a review of Whole Foods' strategic alternatives. Jhana also may nominate at least three directors in a bid to help foster a turnaround. The supermarket chain, which helped pioneer the organic food movement, has been grappling with its worst sales slump in more than a decade. Six straight quarters of declining same-store sales have forced the company to close stores and rein in costs. Charlie Pellitz, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you very much. S&P futures at this hour down 2 points. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at what's happening here in the nation and around the world. And standing by, here is John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning to you, Michael. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and top foreign diplomats are holding an urgent meeting in Italy to discuss the crisis in Syria. The meeting of foreign affairs leaders from like-minded countries taking place on the sidelines of the group of seven industrialized economies. Russia, meantime, is stepping up support for the Taliban, complicating Western-led efforts to shore up the government in Afghanistan. Bloomberg's Altaf Najafizadeh is in Kabul.
Several top U.S. generals and Afghan officials accused Russia of supplying arms and cash to the Taliban to undermine U.S. and NATO mission there. In response, Russia said that U.S. and Afghan administration is trying to justify its failures on the battlefield. Analysts in Kabul, they said that Russia and Taliban's close relationship based on military supplies will help undermine the already fragile nation of Afghanistan and embolden the group to succeed in the war against U.S. and Afghan forces.
Authorities say a brief marriage and quick estrangement came before a man walked into his wife's elementary school class yesterday in San Bernardino, California, and opened fire without saying a word. He killed her and an 8-year-old student and wounded a 9-year-old student before fatally shooting himself. Alabama Governor Robert Bentley, governor no longer, facing the threat of impeachment after the 74-year-old family values conservative allegedly used his office to try to cover up an affair. The governor resigned yesterday after he was charged with two misdemeanors.
Well, thank you and goodbye. And I love this state from the bottom of my heart and the people who live here. God bless you.
Soccer leaders from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico have announced a joint bid to host the expanded 48-team World Cup in 2026, promising an event that would bring in more money than any previous iteration of the world's biggest sporting event. North America hasn't played host since the U.S. held the event in 1994 and drew almost 3.6 million people to stadiums across the country. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Michael.
John, thank you very much. It's now 5:09 on Wall Street. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
Michael, it was a near-perfect home opener for the Yankees, and for a while it looked like Michael Pineda, who had not won in any of his last 11 big league starts, was going to throw an actual perfect game. Evan Longoria broke that up with a seventh-inning double, and an inning later, Logan Morrison homered, but that was all Pineda allowed. He struck out 11, his best game in 4 years in pinstripes. Yanks got home runs from Aaron Judge, Chase Headley, and Starlin Castro. They beat Tampa Bay 8-1. But the news on Gary Sanchez is not good. The young catcher, who was so outstanding second half of last season, is going to miss at least a month with an arm injury. Mets in Philadelphia, 2-2, eighth inning.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a high fly ball, deep to right field. Jay Bruce put it in orbit, into the second deck here at Citizens Bank Park. Oh, the Bruce is loose, all right. His second home run of this game. It breaks the tie.
WOR had it, not only the second homer of the night for Bruce, already his fourth of the young season. Philly scored two in the first inning, one in the ninth, but nothing in between. The Mets won 4-3. First time in 108 years the Cubs played a home game as a defending World Series champion. Anthony Rizzo homered bottom of the ninth. They beat the Dodgers 3-2. On a night where Brook Lopez became the Nets' all-time leading career scorer, surpassing Buck Williams, they lost in Brooklyn to the Celtics 114-105. Cleveland decided not to play LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. The Cavs fell in overtime at Miami, and Boston now leads the East by a half game. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashev. Michael?
Thank you, John. The NFL draft begins later this month, and for the first time, Nevada gambling regulators have approved a series of proposition bets on the results. The offerings are broad and include the number of players drafted from a particular college and which conference will have the most players drafted. Taking a look at futures, S&P futures down 0.1%, the Dow futures down almost 0.1%, same for the NASDAQ futures, almost down 0.1%. 10-year yield is trading at 2.34%, 2-year yield at 1.25%, West Texas Intermediate at 5290. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City Cash Flow Real Estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at NRIA.net.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning to you once again. I'm Bob Moon at Bloomberg World Headquarters with this Bloomberg Radio Business Flash brought to you by Brown University School of Professional Studies, engaging mid-career professionals with executive master's degrees in business, cybersecurity, healthcare, and technology. brown.edu/executive. Jolts today, the job openings and labor turnover report due out this morning at 10 Wall Street time from the Labor Department, and we'll get a reading on U.S. small business optimism for March. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. And right now, S&P futures are down 3 points, 0.1%. Dow futures lower by 19 points. NASDAQ futures are down 6 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is up almost 0.5%. The CAC in Paris is unchanged. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.1%. Tokyo's Nikkei closed lower by 0.25%. The Hang Seng was down 0.75%. The 10-year yield at 2.3445. West Texas Intermediate crude down 0.33% at 52.90 a barrel. Brent crude lower by 0.25% to 55.84. COMEX gold prices up 0.33% to 12.5810 an ounce. The pound trading at $1.2412. The euro at $1.0600 and the yen at 110.67. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Bob. Late word out of Stockholm. The attorney for the man accused of crashing a truck into pedestrians on Friday in Stockholm has now pleaded guilty to terrorist crimes. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and top foreign diplomats are holding an urgent meeting in Italy today to discuss the crisis in Syria. It's taking place on the sidelines of the group of seven industrialized economies. A senior U.S. official says Russia must have known that chemical weapons attack in Syria was coming. The U.S. has no proof of Russian involvement in the attack, but the official says the presence of a Russian-operated surveillance drone over a hospital as victims of the attack were rushing to get treatment could not have been a coincidence. And a man burst into his wife's elementary school class in San Bernardino, California yesterday in open fire without saying a word, killing her and an 8-year-old student and wounding a 9-year-old student before fatally shooting himself. Bloomberg Sports, Mets, Yankees, and Nationals and Giants win. Red Sox lose. Basketball action. The Celtics beat the Nets. The Wizards win. And the Warriors lose. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Well, the U.S. Gulf states and European allies projected their unified opposition to Russia's backing of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad with an emergency meeting on the sidelines of a Group of Seven gathering today. While no readout was immediately available from the hour-long meeting, the goal was to arm Secretary of State Rex Tillerson with a single strong message for Russian leaders when he travels to Moscow later today in the first visit by a U.S. cabinet official since President Donald Trump took office in January. The stakes for Tillerson's visit grew after an April 4th chemical weapons attack in the town of Khan Sikun that the U.S. and its allies blamed on Syria. The U.S. responded by launching 59 Tomahawk missiles at a Syrian airbase, a move that President Vladimir Putin called an act of aggression against a sovereign state. Russia says the original chemical attack was the result of Syrian jets hitting a terrorist weapons depot. The U.S. and European nations are mulling new Syria-related sanctions that could punish Russia for its military backing of Assad's regime. Late yesterday, Trump and UK Prime Minister Theresa May said Tillerson's visit to Moscow is a chance to persuade Russia to cut its support for the Syrian regime. And May's office said in an email statement that the Prime Minister and the President agreed that a window of opportunity now exists in which to persuade Russia that its alliance with Assad is no longer in its strategic interest. Trump spoke separately to German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who also expressed support for the action of the United States and agreed with President Trump on the importance of holding Syrian President Bashar al-Assad accountable, that according to a White House statement. And let's go now to Bloomberg's Michael Moore to talk about the story of Barclays CEO and the dressing down that he has received. Michael, good morning to you. Tell us a little bit on the developments taking place today in that story.
Sure. So, you know, at this point, we're kind of waiting on the regulators to start their investigations. Barclays has said its piece, which included a reprimand of the CEO and a cutting of his bonus. We won't know the exact amount of how much his bonus has been cut until the regulators are done, but certainly this is a black eye for Staley, who has made a culture a big part of his leadership at the bank since he took over at the end of 2015.
His leadership at the bank, any chance that his position is threatened by this?
So in our speaking to investors and analysts, the consensus seems to be that he will survive this, but it's kind of if he had any free passes, those are now gone. The regulators could determine in their investigation, they could deem him unfit to run the bank, but that's seen as an unlikely scenario. More likely would be some sort of fine for the bank and having to strengthen some of their controls around the whistleblowing program.
For those who may not be familiar with the story, give me a little bit of the background on what he is accused of.
Sure. So basically last year there was a whistleblower complaint about a senior hire that was made by Staley and his team. And while compliance was looking into the specific allegations that the anonymous whistleblower made, Staley himself tried to find out the identity of the whistleblower, which went against the policies that are meant to protect anonymous whistleblowers. So he was told on at least one occasion that it was inappropriate to try to find out the identity, but he sought to do that anyway.
Bloomberg's Michael Moore, thank you very much. And we will, of course, continue to follow this story. And Michael Moore joined us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. S&P futures this morning down by 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices are up 6/32. The yield at 2.3445%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And this is Bloomberg Radio.
Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Michael Barr. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The UK inflation rate in March has remained at 2.3%. While it's unchanged from February, it's up from 0.5% a year ago. The increase over the past year reflects higher fuel costs and the pound's decline since the June Brexit vote.
The Fed shifts gears. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen says the central bank's task has shifted from a post-crisis exercise of healing the economy to one aimed at holding on to progress made.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Labor Department issues data on job openings across the U.S. Economists forecast an increase to 5.6 million in February. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Dugice has more.
Today's data, which lag other employment numbers by a month, add context to the monthly payroll figures. In January, job openings rose to 5.626 million. The quits rate, which tracks the number of people who voluntarily leave their jobs, matched the post-recession high, a sign of confidence in the labor market. The national unemployment rate has been below 5% since May. Vinny Del Dugice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Many thanks. Toshiba is warning about its ability to continue as it finally reported earnings without getting auditor approval. The Japanese company, whose U.S. Westinghouse Electric Nuclear Power Unit filed for bankruptcy, posted an operating loss of $5.2 billion for the 9 months ending December 31st.
LVMH rose to a record after the luxury goods leader reported sales that exceeded estimates, the biggest sign yet of a rebound in demand across the industry.
Shares of Dialogue Semiconductor have lost almost a quarter of their value after an analyst warned that Apple probably will cut back on its use of the company's power management chips.
And people with knowledge of the matter say BHP Billiton is working with Goldman Sachs as the largest mining company responds to activist investor Elliott Management's calls for strategy changes.
And a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures are currently down 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures lower by 18 points. NASDAQ futures down by 5 points. 10-year Treasury prices are up 5/32. The yield at 2.3463. The 2-year yield at 1.2540. West Texas Intermediate crude is down around 0.25% to $52.93 a barrel. Brent crude lower by 0.2% to $55.87. COMEX gold prices are up 0.33% or $3.90 an ounce to $12.5780. Stay with us for the latest world and national news. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. And this is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at what's happening around the world. And standing by, here is John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Michael. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and top foreign diplomats held an urgent meeting today to strategize on a way forward to end the protracted civil war in Syria. A meeting was hastily arranged on the sidelines of the group of seven industrialized economies in Italy, days after the U.S. for the first time launched airstrikes against Syrian President Assad's forces. The United States has made a preliminary conclusion that Russia knew in advance of Syria's chemical weapons attack last week, but has no proof of Moscow's involvement, this according to a U.S. official. The official said that a drone operated by Russians was flying over a hospital as victims of the attack were rushing to get treatment. Hours after the drone left, a Russian-made fighter jet bombed the hospital in what American officials believe was an attempt to cover up the usage of chemical weapons. 27 EU diplomats today are discussing the bloc's draft guidelines for Brexit negotiations, and Bloomberg's Ian Wishart reports from Brussels.
For the first time since Prime Minister Theresa May triggered Article 50, representatives of the EU's 27 other governments are getting round the table to talk about how to proceed. Each leader's special envoy will meet in Brussels today to talk through the EU's guidelines for the Brexit negotiations. They have to be signed off by the leaders at their summit on April the 29th before discussions with the UK can begin. Ian Wishart, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, Brussels.
Officials say a man who killed his estranged wife and one of her elementary school students before killing himself got into the San Bernardino, California school by saying he had something to drop off for her. Authorities say Cedric Anderson walked into the North Park Elementary School classroom yesterday and opened fire, killing 53-year-old Karen Elaine Smith and an 8-year-old student. Another student was critically wounded. One of the law enforcement officers involved in forcibly removing a passenger from a United Airlines flight has been placed on leave. The Chicago Department of Aviation says the officer's actions were not in accordance with standard operating procedures. United now says the incident stemmed from a need to transport crew. The airliner originally said the flight was overbooked. John Klassen was on board the flight and says passengers were pretty skeptical of that initial announcement.
They told us that we would not leave until four people volunteered. There was just a real sense on the plane that that wasn't right.
Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
John, thank you very much. 5:35 on Wall Street. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
Michael, the Yankees have been waiting for 6 years for Michael Pineda to pitch like he did yesterday. Acquired from Seattle back in 2012, injured for all of his first two seasons, inconsistent since then. He chose the Yankee home opener to flirt with a perfect game. Lost it with two outs in the seventh inning on an Evan Longoria double, so Joe Girardi did not have to make a decision on whether to let Pineda stay in and finish it.
You know, your thinking is it's going to be another special day here at the stadium. And obviously, he pitched really, really well today and thought he had a shot. His stuff was really good. His pitch count was down. And I start thinking of my head, okay, he gets through the eighth and he's at 100 pitches. How far do I let him go? And I would have sent him back out.
He took Pineda out eighth inning when he lost the shutout. Yanks then put the game away with five runs, bottom of the eighth. They won the home opener over Tampa Bay 8-1. They're off tonight. They'll start Jordan Montgomery tomorrow. 6'6", 24-year-old lefty who impressed in spring training. He'll make his big league debut. But Gary Sanchez is going to be out for the next month with that arm injury suffered on Sunday. Mets won 4-3 at Philadelphia. Jacob deGrom again sharpened. Jay Bruce, the hero. Bruce struggled in his 2 months in New York last season after the trade with Cincinnati. Homering only six times. He's hit four in the first week this year. Two last night, solo shot fourth inning, game-winning two-run blast in the eighth. The NBA regular season almost over. Cleveland has led the East the whole way, but the Cavs lost in overtime at Miami. They decided not to play LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, and Boston won at Brooklyn, 114-105. Celtics, one game ahead, a win tomorrow over Milwaukee. They'll be the one seed in the East. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Michael?
John, thank you very much. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Michael. A New Jersey health insurance company will pay a fired employee $80,000 to settle claims Horizon New Jersey Health discriminated against an employee who was fired because she didn't have the proper professional certification. Now, the worker says the disability leave she taking it prevented her from taking the test to get certification. In addition, the company will have to retrain managers on state anti-discrimination laws. Spirit Airlines took three new Airbus group jets out of service after finding problems with their geared turbofan engines. This is the latest glitch affecting a power plant that United Technologies spent billions of dollars to develop. Nine Connecticut Bob's stores could close down as part of the bankruptcy proceedings for the clothing and shoe stores parent company, Eastern Outfitters. The Hartford Courant says the company wants to close its original Bob's store in Middletown, as well as stores in Enfield, Manchester, Milford, Danbury, and several other locations. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Michael?
Ed, thank you very much. Let's take a look at Starbucks. It will start offering health insurance that covers the parents of its employees in China. Bloomberg's Brian Curtis has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
It's an unusual offer by Starbucks that might be picked up by some 10,000 people. It's an appeal to traditional values in China, where children often care for their parents and grandparents. China still does not have a comprehensive safety net for the elderly. Starbucks says the plan will cover 30 common critical illnesses and will start in June. Why do it? Well, Executive Chairman Howard Schultz says we're living in a fragile world, and that means companies have a deeper responsibility for their employees. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Brian, thank you, sir. Now let's take a check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that United CEO Oscar Munoz is conducting a review of an incident caught on video showing the forcible removal of a man from a plane in Chicago.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on New York University research finding fingerprint scans are not as secure as first thought.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. There is a report that there could be another bidder looking to buy Panera Bread.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a pause in UK inflation in March as we get a report that consumers are reining in retail sales.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about the looming TV writers' strike as the talks struggle on.
I'm Ed Corey. On KFBK in Sacramento, I'm reporting Wells Fargo's rehired about 1,000 former employees as the company tries to put its phony account scandal to rest.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Let's take a look at the data checks. S&P futures pretty much even on the board, along with the Dow futures and the NASDAQ futures. The 10-year yield is at 2.35%. The 2-year yield is at 1.25%. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Willoughby since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning to you once again from Bloomberg World Headquarters. I'm Bob Moon with this Bloomberg Radio Business Flash. More Fed speak today. Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari will participate in a Q&A at a meeting of the Minnesota Business Partnership during the noon hour today. The G7 foreign ministers hold a news conference today after a two-day meeting in Lucca, Italy, and the focus is on Syria. The G7 comprises the U.S., Japan, Canada, the U.K., Germany, France, and Italy. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures this morning now down a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. Dow futures lower by 9 points. NASDAQ futures down by 2 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is higher by 0.5%. The CAC in Paris is down a tenth of 1%. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.2%. Tokyo's Nikkei closed lower by 0.25%. The Hang Seng down by 0.75%. 10-year Treasury yield at 2.3463. West Texas Intermediate crude down a third of a percent at $52.91 a barrel. Brent crude lower by 0.25% at $55.83. COMEX gold prices up a third of a percent or $4.60 an ounce to $12.58.50. The pound trading at $1.2417. The euro at $1.0606. And the yen at $1.10.65. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Bob. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson at world leaders holding an urgent meeting in Italy to discuss the crisis in Syria. The meeting of like-minded countries is also taking place on the sidelines of the group of seven industrialized economies. A senior U.S. official says Russia knew about Syria's chemical weapons attack in advance. But the official says the U.S. has no proof that Russia was involved in last week's attack that killed more than 80. A husband opened fire on his wife yesterday in a San Bernardino elementary school classroom, killing her and a student in a murder-suicide that spread panic across the city that's still recovering emotionally from a terror attack at a community center just 15 months ago. Bloomberg Sports, Jay Bruce's two home runs led the Mets past the Phillies. Michael Pineda flirts with a perfect game and the Yankees win. The Nationals and Giants also win. The Red Sox fall to the Tigers in NBA action. The Celtics beat the Nets. The Wizards win. And the Warriors lose. Global news 24 hours a day. Powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Michael.
John, thank you very much. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We are joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor, in our London bureau. First of all, good morning. And the $7 trillion hazard that lies beneath the M&A boom, and some corporate balance sheets are on the wrong end of debt.
Yes, and it's only prudent that investors do a little goodwill hunting here. Look at Toshiba and look at Westinghouse Electric and how it has delivered one last stinging blow to its Japanese parent, a $6.4 billion goodwill write-down. Toshiba, though, probably won't be the last big company out there to root overpaying for assets. The global boom in M&A has left a giant footprint on corporate balance sheets. Goodwill, now that's the difference between what assets are worth on paper and how much an acquirer paid for them, is also soaring. Look at S&P 500. Goodwill has risen by two-thirds over the past decade and accounts for more than one-third of net assets. Now, this is concerning because it points to one thing we've warned about before. Growth-starved buyers, especially in the US, are overpaying for acquisitions, and eventually some might have to write down a chunk of the resulting goodwill. Look, in the past 2 years, takeover targets have sold for a median of 11 times EBITDA, essentially 11 years of profit, whereas that multiple was only between 7 and 9 times in the years leading up to the recent merger frenzy. Of course, deals are getting ever bigger and more expensive, pushing total goodwill to $7 trillion for the companies that Bloomberg holds data. Corporate America, I'm afraid, accounts for more than half that amount. Companies often promise the earth when they announce deals, so booking an impairment charge is an admission that their M&A chart deck was too optimistic. The usual culprits are over-eager M&A bankers and impressionable CEOs. But look at what the effect they have. They write downs, dent earnings, and erode key credit metrics, the last thing investors need with corporate balance sheets already stretched. Now, if goodwill on a company's balance sheet is much higher than its market value, that might be a sign investors don't expect to realize full value from the assets bought. A few names to look at. Look at Community Health Systems, Inc. Its goodwill is valued at more than six times its market value. What about rival U.S. hospital operator Tenet Healthcare? Goodwill to market value ratio of 420%. Valiant market value five times smaller than the goodwill on its balance sheet. And of course, as for who's sitting on the most goodwill, look at beer. Anheuser-Busch InBev's SA's goodwill doubled to a cool $137 billion after its takeover of SAB Miller. Now, some folks argue that goodwill impairments don't matter because no cash leaves the business and they're inherently backward-looking. We disagree. These types of charges signal that cash flows won't be as strong as a company won't hope. Now, shareholders may see this stuff coming, but they're often caught off guard.
Paul Singer's BHP tale is all gold, and one major component includes the tax system.
Yes, this is the Elliott Management's founder, and it's pushed to agitate for change at miner BHP Billiton. Most of this rests on a quirk in the Australian tax system, something called franking, the system by which Australia's government gives a tax credit to shareholders already receiving dividends. Now, Elliott wants to collapse BHP's dual Australian and UK listings into a single entity. Australian shareholders would maintain their exposure via local deposit receipts. The problem with this is it's only Australian taxpayers that are entitled to these franking credits. So the big shareholders that Elliott needs to convince, people like BlackRock and Aberdeen, will get no direct benefit from the restructuring.
Edward Evans, thank you very much. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
And now time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grosso and Michael Best discuss the insider trading case of Las Vegas gambler Billy Walters, who was found guilty in a New York court on Friday. They speak to Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University, and Robert Hockett, a professor at Cornell University Law School.
Peter, how important was this win for federal prosecutors?
Well, it was important because it was so high profile. Billy Walters is maybe the most famous defendant since Rajat Gupta, who was the former director at Goldman Sachs. And it almost had a tabloid feel to it, with Phil Mickelson and Carl Icahn's name coming up, the government FBI agent leaking information back in 2014 about the case. In a sense, it was high profile because it was tabloid. The legal issues really weren't all that difficult. And even if that Newman case from 2014 had remained, the government had evidence that some of the inside information was to help pay off loans. So it would not have raised the issue of friendship, at least not as much. So it's important because it's high profile.
Bob, the defense seemed to argue that the only way the jury could convict Walters here was if they believed Tom Davis, the former chairman of Dean Foods, who was passing information to Walters. And they argued that he was lying, he had debts, he had done all sorts of unsavory things. How much did the case really rely on Davis's testimony?
I don't actually think that the case was all that reliant on Davis's testimony. There was a lot of circumstantial evidence as well, in the form of, for example, phone records, right? So Mr. Davis, of course, would pass on the information to Mr. Walters, and Mr. Walters would then oftentimes phone to place his trades literally within the same minute that he got off of the phone with Mr. Davis. So if you've got a pattern of that sort that's sort of repeated over and over and over again, all that Mr. Davis's testimony actually ends up doing is sort of providing a little bit of narrative context, a little bit of extra color. But as far as the sort of fundamental evidence that's needed to convict is concerned, it seems that that was actually all available even without Mr. Davis.
That's Robert Hockett, a professor at Cornell University Law School, and Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University, speaking to Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best. You can hear Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
S&P futures this morning down a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. The 10-year yield at 2.3463%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
The new Office of American Innovation President Trump has created for his son-in-law Jared Kushner to lead might work. Former Obama administration government managers tell Bloomberg BNA they think it could do a lot of good if it puts agency expertise on par with business acumen. A top federal regulator now wants to keep the ban on cell phone calls on planes. And the drug industry could be coming under new areas of antitrust scrutiny. One antitrust law expert says abuse of citizen petitions could become a focus of antitrust regulators.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.